everyone. Welcome to Thomas and the Bible, episode 38. Great to see you. Everybody's looking real good. Okay, before I get started, I briefly plugged something last week, which is a new podcast me and my brother are doing. Now, it's a comedy podcast. It's not you know, whereas Thomas and the Bible is very rigorous and judicious and erudite and all those words, you know, very disciplined in my reading. You know, this podcast with my brother is mainly just for comedy. It's pretty much just two pretty funny people complaining about stuff that's annoying in the world, and one of those things is religion. It's not exclusively about religion, actually. It's about there's lots of little segments. Mine that I do is stupid things people believe, so that covers religion, but it also covers things like people who think the full moon controls their body, and people who, you know, believe in pet psychics and that kind of thing. And that's just one segment of many, many different ones. So I guess I'm just trying to clarify what it is so you don't think it's another completely religious one. It's mainly just me laughing at how funny my brother is, because I find him incredibly hilarious. So if you can stand me laughing obnoxiously for about 45 minutes, it's a good podcast. It's called F This Podcast. It's pretty clear there what that's about. So you can search on iTunes, F This Podcast, or you can go to another crappy WordPress website I've done, fthispodcast.com. But I encourage you to at least check it out. You know that we got, I think, two episodes currently, and we're doing it every Tuesday, I think, is when we're releasing them. So, you know, we're getting to our groove. It's really fun, and I think it's quite funny. So, no further about that. Let's get to the Bible, chapter 26 of Numbers. And I think we might finally get to the bottom of why it's called Numbers today, which is just outstanding. And it came to pass, after the plague, that the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saying, Take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, from 20 years old and upward, throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. And Moses and Eleazar the priest spake with them in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Take the sum of the people from 20 years old and upward, as the Lord commanded Moses and the children of Israel, which went forth, children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt. Oh, and in case you're wondering, yes, we've already heard all this. He's done a census before, and he's going to do it again, apparently. Of Hezron, Reuben. Oh, I don't want to miss anything. This is very important. Reuben, the eldest and most delicious son of Israel. The children of Reuben, Hanok, of whom cometh the family of the Hanachites. That sounded authentic, didn't it? I think that's how you speak Hebrew. Just anything that's like a ch, or just try to throw your throat into any word. Of Pahalu, family of the Pahaluites. Of Hezron of the family of the Hezronites. Of Carmi, the family of the Carmites. These are the families of the Reubenites, and they that were numbered of them were 43,730. And the sons of Pelu, Eliab, and the son, I guess I'll read this, even though, you know, I like to get through every word here, but we've definitely heard all this before, and there's nothing worth reading in here, but I'll just try to speed through it. And the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram, and this is Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation. Yeah, they were famous. Who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against the Lord. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah, when that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. The sons of Simeon, after their families, of Nemuel, the family of the Nemuelites, of Chamin, the family of the Chaminites, of Jachin. I'll stop, sorry. Family of the Jachinites. Of Zerah, the family of the Zerahites. Of Shal, the family of the Shalites. Doesn't God get that we'll understand that formula after, like, one, maybe two examples? You know, Nemuel of the family of the... Everybody? Nemuelites. Jamin, the family of the... Anyone? Jaminites. And then God right there could just write, etc. You know, that's it. That's all. We don't need more than that. We get it. These are the families of the Simeonites. 20,200. The children of Gad, after their families of Zephon, the family of Zephonites, of Haggi, the family of Haggites, and the fathers of Haggis, of Shuni, the family of the Shunites, of Osni, the family of the Osnites, of Eri, the family of the Erites, of Arod, the family of the Arod, the Yankees, of Areli, the family of the Arelites. These are the families of the children of God, according to those with the number of 40,500. And the sons of Judah were Ur and Onan, and Ur and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Judah, after their families, were of Shelah, the family of Shelahites, Pharaoh, the family of Pharaohites, Zerah, the family of Zerahites. And the sons of Pharaohs were... There's a little bit more interesting stuff later in this reading. This is kind of crap. You could really just fast forward if you want. What's that noise? Huh. I'm hearing some noise. I hope it's not my recording program going crazy. And the sons of Pharaohs were of Hezron, the family of Hevrites, of Hamul, the son of the Hamulites. I know what that is. That's my... That's my heater is coming on because it's freezing. We are actually losing the earth to storms on the west coast where I am, which is just insane. It's so cold and rainy and windy. The wind is howling. I'm sure people who have real weather are just laughing at what this is, but to me it's quite shocking. And that's my heater. Okay. So interesting. That little thing was more interesting than anything in the God's holy book thus far. I effortlessly created that. That's how what I am compared to God. Just perspective, you know. These are the families of Judah according to those that were numbered them 316,500. Of the sons of Issachar after their families of Tola, the family of the Tolaites, of Pua, the family of the Punites. Oh, that was a tricky little conjugation there. You had to add an N because it couldn't add an N because it couldn't be Puaites. It had to be Punites. So that's why he keeps doing this, because there are exceptions, everyone. You know, pay attention to those. These are the families of Issachar according to those that were numbered of them. 84,300. Of the sons of Zebulun, after their families of Shred, family of Serenites, I really gotta skip through this. This is just... Heli family of Anites, Jaleel family of Jaleelites. These are the families of Zebulites according to the number of 84,500. Sons of Joseph, after families of Ephraim. Sons of Manasseh, Machir, the family of Machirites. Machir begat Gilad. Gilad befriended the family of Giladites. Sons of Gilad, Jezreelites, Helak, son of Helakites. And of Israel, the family of the Azurites, son of Sheshem, son of Sheshemites, son of Shemitah, the family of Shemitites, of Hefer, son of the Heferites. And Hermaphra, the family of the Hermaphrodites. No. And of Zeliath, that would be funny though. And of Stalag, the family of the Stalactites, and his brother Stalagm, the family of the Stalagmites. This is all in here. Not making it up. And Hit, of the family of the Hittites. And the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Mala. Oh, that's like, you know, I think that's in The Lion King. Yeah, Mala. Mm. Cool. And Noah, Hogla, Milcah, Tirzah. The rest of them got crap names. Mala was the only good one. These are the families of Manasseh, and those that were numbered of them, 52,700. These are the sons of Ephraim, after their families of Shiloh, the family of the Shilites, Becher, the family of Berites, Tahan, the family of Tahanites. And these are the sons of Sluchna, the Zeron, the family of Renites. And these are the sons of Ephraim, according to those that numbered them, 32,500. Sons of Benjamin have their families in Bellows, sons of Belites, and Ashbel, sons of Ephraim, Ephraim's from the Ephraimites. If Shupam, the family from Ast, I think I read that. Whoops. I mumbled that already. I better not mumble that again. And the sons of Bela and Ard were Naaman, Ard the family of the Ardites, and Naaman the family of the Naamites. Come on, really, God? You're really going to do this to us again? Really? We haven't been through enough. Hasn't this podcast family been through enough? Haven't you put us through enough of this? These are the sons of Benjamin after their families, and they that were numbered of them were 45,600. These are the sons of Dan after their families. Of Shuham, the family of the Shuhamites. These are the families of Dan after their families. All the families of Shuhamites, according to those over number of them, they scored 4,400. Of the children of Asher after their families, Jimna, the family of the Jimnites, Jesua, the family of Jesuites, Beriah, the family of the Berites. Of the sons of Bera, Heber, family Heberites, Melchielites. So, getting closer. And the name of the daughter Asher was Sarah. And these families of Asher, according to the number 253,400, sons of Naphtali, family of Joseph, Gunites. Of Joseph, family of Jezerites, children of family of Shilamites. These are family of Naphtali, according to the family, number 45,400. These are the number of children of Israel, down to about. Wait, hold on. Okay, now we're coming to the. These were the numbered of the children of Israel, 600,000 and 1,730. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for putting you guys through that. But it's... I apologize on behalf of God, not me. It's not my fault. God made me do it. A few key points. Why is God asking Moses to take a census? You know, Moses had to be at least a little annoyed that God didn't just tell Moses, you know, like Moses was probably... When God asked him, he said, God? Mm-hmm. Well, I was just wondering, there's a lot of people here, if you notice, over, you know, they cover most the whole land that you can see. For humans, it takes time, and resources, but mainly time is the key thing to count that many people. Gonna take weeks, months? I don't even know. I have no idea. A lot of hard work. You know, God's like, oh, yes, indeed, it's going to be very tough. Moses, well, that's what I'm kind of, I guess what I'm wondering is would you mind just knowing instantly how many of each family there are and just relaying that information to me? I just think it'll be a little easier for you to do that than for me to do it. I can do something else, like while you're doing that, any chores or something you have, just so you don't think I'm trying to get out of work. It's not that. It's just I just think the difference in efficiency between us is vast. Let's just put it that way. But I guess God had things to do or something, playing video games or something. Also, this would have been a perfect, if God were real, this would have been a perfect, simple way for God to just prove he was real. He could have just, you know, like told Moses exactly how many people there were of each family, and then he could impress everyone with this impossible knowledge. And then you could even have had the people like, oh, no, that can't be true. We don't believe in God. We've only seen 50,000 miracles. You know, a la how the entire Bible has gone this far. No, it's impossible. You don't know that, Moses. What are you? Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? You have to tell us things like this. And then they could have counted, and it could have been the exact right number, you know. And then it's like, oh wow, we will believe in your God for at least another day or two before the next thing happens, and we decide not to believe. Huh. Okay, and the heater's off. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to few thou shalt give the less inheritance. To every one shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot. Now, are we talking Lot, the person who we've met before, or Lot, if you remember Lot's daughters, he like offered them up to the people who were trying to get at the angels. Now, are we dividing, is he dividing it? It says we're divided by Lot. I just don't know. I guess it's not capitalized, so I guess that means, you know, they're just going to like do a lottery. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit. According to the lot, you know, could just be a typo. It's not capitalized. And they could call them the lot, like ever since that thing. Like, oh, there's the lot. Yeah. Shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few? And these are, no, it's probably just lot as in lottery, I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's that. And these are they that were numbered of the Levites after their families of Gershon, the family of the Gershonites, of Kohath, the family of the Kohathites, of Merari, the family of the Merarites. Oh, we're going to go through all this again. Oh, you got to be kidding. These are the families of the Levites, families of the Libnites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Malites, the family of the Mushites, the family of the Korahites. And Kohath begat Amram. It's a nice little last sentence there. It's doing all this formula, like, oh, family of blah, 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 and then it says, and Kohath begat Amram. I don't know what that means, but that's what it says. And the name of Amram's wife, Anran's wife, Amram is now Anran, just for fun. The name of Anran's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Anran Aaron and Moses. And, wow, Aaron and Moses are the sons of Ayn Rand. I did not know that. And Miriam, their sister. And unto Aaron was born Nadab and Abihu, and Eleazar and Ithamar. Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord. We all remember that, right? When they were trying to do an offering, and I guess they burned, like, the wrong fire, because you can tell, you know, when, like, it's not the correct fire. It's a different fire. They did that and they were killed instantly by God. He just snuffed them out. That was one of the funnier parts of the Bible, I gotta say. And those that were numbered of them were 23,000, all males, from a month old and upward, for they were not numbered among the children of Israel because there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel. These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these, there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered when they numbered them. When they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. So when we went through this vast reading, pointless reading, the first time, none of the same people were numbered because God had said, they didn't deserve it. You know, so he killed them all them off. So, I typed something that's not a word. What could I have been? Wuthrow, the entire population that left you. Something is totally messed up. Wow, my notes are completely ruined. Wait. Okay, whatever. I can move on. So, God has completely... the gist of this gibberish that I'm looking at here is that God has completely cycled his chosen people, which is... I just saying that, I didn't realize how funny it is until I said it out loud. He's cycled through his chosen people. He's like, okay, so initially he says, I choose you. You're chosen. You're better than everybody else, and I'm going to kill people on your behalf. And then partway through, he's like, God, these people suck. They are the crappiest bunch of people. What was I thinking? Why did I choose these people? Oh, my. None of you are getting the land that I promised you. I'm going to find an entirely new batch of chosen people, maybe based, you know, some of them your children, some of them not. And they're the ones that are going to get the land. So I guess a philosopher might ask, what is it by virtue of which these people were chosen to begin with? Or better yet, no, that's fine. What is it by, why were these people initially chosen? God, that's my phone too. Gosh, so unprofessional. God killed tons of Egyptians and called all these plagues onto people and, you know, but innocent Egyptians along with pretty bad ones, but still plenty of families and sons and first sons and all that were killed for these quote unquote, I wish you could hear my quotes, chosen people who in turn, you know, didn't quite perform. So God just killed them all, except two or three, and picked up a completely new set. Why didn't he see this coming? What is this choosing based off of if that they turned out to be crap? Doesn't that show that God's, like, fallible, that he's choosing wrong? You know, he did not choose correctly. Yeah, that's about it. I guess I've about killed that point as much as I can. For the Lord hath said of him, there's one last stupid thing. For the Lord hath said of him, they shall surely die in the wilderness. Yeah, he did say that. And there was not a man left of them, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. That's the end of that one. This one should be slightly more interesting, hopefully. The Book of Numbers, chapter 27. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, the families of Manasseh, and just Joseph. So far, not very interesting. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahla, Noah, and Hogla, and Milcah, and Tirzah.
Yeah, there it is, every time.
Every time. It's like a little Easter egg for you guys. Where does Thomas start yawning because of how stupid this boring this book is? And they stood, it's pretty obvious, not very good, well-hid Easter egg. And they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes, and all the congregation, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he hath no son. Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. Moses, baffled at this, unable to give an answer. Moses brought their cause before the Lord. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then ye shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. Wow, what a revolutionary idea. So what's happened is Moses went to God and said, hey, God, the other day, one of those lesser pain-in-the-ass humans we keep around and tell to shut up and hit them if they say anything we don't like. Well, yeah, one of those ones. We came to me and started talking. For some reason, I was bored, so I decided to listen. I had nothing else to do. So I listened to the shrieking harpy, and she said that her father had no sons. And I'm wondering, God, in that situation, who would his inheritance go to? God says, God is stunned at this. I said, good question. Oh, that's so funny. I've never thought of that until you just said that. Because it's not like he had any other children that we value as humans. Moses says, well, just a thought. Maybe we could have the daughter get the inheritance just to hold on to it in case, you know, maybe it's uncovered that he actually has some bastard son that she could give it to, you know. God says, no, that's not a bad idea. Can we trust the woman not to lose it or anything, though? Moses says, well, we'll just keep an eye on her. You know, as soon as she has a son or marries someone, then he can watch over it. Amazing. This is absolute revelation at the time, I'm guessing. And if he have no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his father's brethren, another. And if his father have no brethren, well, God says, at this point, who will even be complaining anymore? If it gets to this point, I just assume I'm punishing him for some reason and just forget about the inheritance. I mean, really. And if the father hath no brethren, then ye shall give his inheritance unto his kinsman, that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it, and shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up unto this Mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, God's talking to Moses here, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. Oh, wow. I don't know if you guys remember that. Gathered to his people like Aaron his brother. That wasn't too good for Aaron. You know, that particular euphemism, let's just say. Moses, I think, has got to be a little bit pissed off about this. So Moses says, let me get this straight. You're showing me the land, you're marching me up this mountain, two-hour hike, to show me the land that everyone else is going to get, but that I'm not going to because I tapped that rock we were talking about two times gently. I didn't realize you didn't want me to tap it. Why didn't you say, Moses, don't tap? Just ask it. You said ask it. I get that. But I asked it and tap. You didn't say not tap. You didn't say... come on. And sorry I didn't directly give you credit, but in all honesty, if your own chosen people cannot figure out that you're the one making water come out of rocks, then why did you choose them? Honestly. I really... Wow. You're just going to kill me now because of that. Unreal. You work your whole life with a guy and he just stabs you in the back first chance he gets. I'll tell you this, God. Good luck getting someone who will refrain from making fun of you like I do every time we talk. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, all the stupid crap you say, please. Please, you'll see. You'll see. Dick. The Lord said... Oh, no, sorry. That's not... wrong thing. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, okay, this is what Moses actually said according to scripture. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may, he's being very magnanimous here, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. The Lord said, yeah, I know. You think I need you to tell me basic management things like this? Wow, I will be glad when I have a new mouthpiece person, you know, puppet to talk through. Because you think you're easy to work with? I have to tell you the same thing 1,800 times because it doesn't sink in at first. You don't think my time is a little bit valuable as Lord God of all everything? I make more in a week than you do in a year, Moses. Think about that. And the Lord's like the idea of God getting a salary from somewhere. Like, what does he do with that salary? I don't know. Ludicrous. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. Where am I? That all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the company. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge. I mean, I don't know if that means like he rubbed his feet on the carpet, you know, it's like a little hazing for the new guy coming in, taking my job as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Chapter 28, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifice is made by fire for a sweet savor unto me. Shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season? And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without a spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb, I'm feeling more like you should offer that at even. And a tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering, mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil. It is a continual, it is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And yes, to answer your questions, you have already heard all of this, and you're going to hear it again. And there isn't a damn thing you can do about it, because I'm God. I don't want you messing up my food orders ever again. And the drink offering thereof, and furthermore, the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of an hin for the one lamb. In the holy place thou shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt thou offer at even, as the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Ah, jeez, so this is just repeating the offerings. Oh, I guess I'll read it. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and 2 tenths deals of flour of the meal offering, mingled with oil and drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, beside the continual burnt offering, the drink offering. And in the beginnings of your months, ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, 2 young bullocks and 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without spot, and 3 tenths deal of flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and for 1 bullock, for 2 tenths flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, for 1 ram. And 7 tenths deal of flour mingled with oil for a meat offering unto the 1 lamb, for a burnt offering, sweet savor, sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering shall be half a hin of wine unto the bullock, and 1/3 part of the hin to the ram, 1/4 part of the hin to the lamb. This is a burnt offering of every month, throughout the months of the year. And 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and drink offering. And on the 14th day of the first month is Passover to the Lord. And the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten, and the 1st day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no manner of servile work therein, but ye shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto the Lord. 2 young bullocks and 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year, they shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil. 3 tenths deals shall ye offer for a bullock, 2 tenths deals for a ram. It's a pretty good deal. A 1/7 deal shalt thou offer for every lamb throughout 7 lambs. I wonder if they try to haggle them at all. Like, I'm not going any more than 5 tenths. 2/5. No, that's the same as 2. Okay. I'm a terrible haggler. I can't do it. No, I'm not going any more than 2 tenth deals for a bullock, and maybe like 1/20th of a deal for a ram. And God said, that is outrageous. I will not hear that. But then I'm guessing in the end, God won the haggling there, because, you know, when you're God, you haggle well. You shall offer these besides the burnt offering in the morning, which is a continual burnt offering. I just want to burn through this stupid chapter. After this manner you shall offer daily throughout the 7 days of the meat of the sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. It shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And on the 7th day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. Also on the day of first fruits, when ye bring a new meat offering unto the Lord, after your weeks be out, ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. Whew. So I guess it goes without saying that doing all this ridiculous crap for God all day somehow doesn't count as servile work, I guess. To me, it doesn't get more servile than that. That's probably the worst, most servile crap I could think of. But ye shall offer the burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, yours truly, 2 young bullocks, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year, and their meat offering of flour mingled with oil, 3 tenths deals unto 1 bullock, 2 tenths deals unto 1 ram, 1/7 deal unto 1 lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats to make an atonement for you. Ye shall offer them beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering. They shall be unto you without blemish, and their drink offering. Okay. done with that chapter, and that was crap. But the last chapter has some stuff, some slightly interesting stuff in it. So go on to that one. The final chapter of today's reading. It's not the final chapter of Numbers, unfortunately. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have an holy convocation, and ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. Wow. They have to blow trumpets for an entire day. That has got to be the most agonizing day of anyone's life. I'm sure the constant blowing of trumpets is probably pretty fun for 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden it gets less fun. That's just a guess. It's not from experience, but pretty good guess, I think. Educated guess. And ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, one young bullock, one ram, and 7 lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meat offering shall be a flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals for a bullock, and 2/10 deals for a ram, and 1/10 deal for a lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Beside the burnt offering of the month, and his meat offering, and the daily meat burnt offering, and his meat offering, said that twice, I swear, and his meat offering, and the daily burnt offering, and his meat offering, and their drink offerings, according unto their manner, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. I'm sure at some point during this whole thing, Moses had to be thinking, oh, you know, that is one thing. This is one thing I am not going to miss. This, writing for pages and pages, while he just keep babbles on with this crap that just he's just making it up, you know. Oh, I'm not gonna. I don't mind the fact that he's going to kill me. Ugh, it's not seeming so bad because this might kill me. It's all those thoughts going through Moses' head. And ye shall have on the 10th day of this 7th month, an holy convocation. And ye shall afflict your souls. Ye shall not do any work therein. Also, I wonder if by now Moses' work is getting a little more shabby. You know, like have you ever been on the last day of a job you knew you were quitting? You know, all bets are off. Moses is like, yeah, we might have that on the 10th day of the 7th month. Or, then again, maybe we'll have it on the 7th day of the 10th month. How would you like that, God? You know? God says, you would not. You wouldn't dare. Moses is like, what do I have to lose at this point? You know, you've replaced me. What do I care? Where was I? But ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord for a sweet savor, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, and 7 lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish. And their meat offering shall be a flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals to a bullock, and 2/10 to 1 ram. Sounds reasonable. A several 10th deal for 1 lamb throughout the 7 lambs. 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering beside the sin offering of atonement and the continual burnt offering, and the meat offering of it and their drink offerings. And on the 15th day of the 7th month ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. Ah, jeez. God's like, Moses, you getting all this? Oh, yeah, no, I got it. Moses, what was the last thing I said? Whatever, something, I don't, damn it, Moses, tell me the last thing I said. No servile work, or something. Really, this is my last day. You've been going on for hours. Come on. Have some mercy. And you shall offer a burnt offering. No mercy. God just continues. And you shall offer a burnt offering. Need another pen there, Moses? You good? Okay. A sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. 13 young bullocks, 2 rams. That's 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year. I'll know if they're not of the first year. And they shall be without blemish. I'm not seeing a lot of writing out of you there, Moses. You getting this? Okay. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals unto every bullock of the 13 bullocks. 2 tenths deals to each ram of the 2 rams, and several tenths deals to each lamb of the 14 lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering, and his drink offering. And on the second day ye shall offer 12 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot. Ah, oh, jeez. You know, right now he's just going, first day is one thing, second day is everything minus one, third day is the second day minus one, fourth day, anybody? Is the third day minus one. Okay, I'm technically telling you what has happened, so I'm not going to read it, because this has been too much garbage. Let me pick up on the seventh day, which is 7 bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offering and their drink offerings, and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 goat for a sin. Moses, stop eating that kid of the goats. Damn it. That's for me. This is unbelievable. I thought you were professional. Oh boy. Now it all comes out, huh? Wow. Wow, Moses. Whew. Well, you think you know someone, huh? Think you know him. Think you know someone. Thought he was a pro. And 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering, and his drink offering. On the 8th day ye shall have a solemn assembly. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. 1 bullock, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullock, for the ram, and for the lamb shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 goat for a sin offering beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. These things ye shall do unto the Lord in your set feasts beside your vows and your freewill offerings, for your burnt offerings and for your meat offerings, for your drink offerings and for your peace offerings. And Moses told the children of Israel according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. Except that instead of saying all that bullshit, he just made it all up. The end. That's the end of today's reading. Well, yeah, that does it. Sorry, that was like 15% content. No, it wasn't 15%. 5% content, 95% repetition. Pretty bad ratio, even as far as the Bible's concerned. Not its worst. The by far its worst was the chapters I don't even want to talk about. I get emotional when I think the building of the tabernacle. Oh boy, that's coming back. Oh yeah, that was by far the worst experience of my life. This is nothing like that. Till you've been to the tabernacle chapters, you don't know anything. This is a walk in the park, but nevertheless, it was still pretty crap. So thanks for toughing it out. Please check out F This Podcast if you want. If you're not interested, hey, fair enough. You're not interested, but you know, it's some jokes. It's people. I think the market. I think we've maybe cornered, and we've taken on more things too. It's going to be a lot of goofy stuff and complaint stuff that maybe you may or may not like. I think it's funny. But I think the one thing we've cornered is that, I think I mentioned this last time, every skeptic podcast, and I listen to several of them, you know, they're really respectful and careful, and that's good. I'm not saying it's bad, but I think the one thing maybe we've cornered for now is just genuinely just ridiculing people who believe, not the people, but the beliefs, the really stupid beliefs. Like the full moon thing, you know? So if you're interested in that kind of thing, please check it out. If not, you're not, that's fine. And as usual, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye.